Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Oh, it's the final show of the week. I don't know that there are better words. Maybe the start of the NFL season. That would be the competition. Game 7, okay. But game 7 on the final day of the week, that is the winning combination right there. You want a lottery winner? There's your lottery winner. Man alive, what a week it has been. From crowning an NBA champion to seeing the Olympics get underway in Tokyo, Japan, and opening ceremonies taking place. You'll see them on your TV on Friday evening, but it is Friday. Actually, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Tokyo time on the other side of the globe. And so the ceremonies are about to get underway. We're going to be joined by Steve Futterman of CBS News, who's covering the Olympics for the news side of our business. And he's going to join us in 20 minutes. And we're going to talk to him about what he's seen and what the opening ceremonies will be like. But I just saw him post a photo from inside the stadium. So we'll get a scene set with Steve. And a little bit later in the show, as a nod to Wisconsin and as a nod to the Bucks, but also because we need some info on Aaron Rodgers, Leroy Butler, former Packers, great at safety, part of the all-decade team in the 90s, played his entire career in Green Bay, and now does radio on the Big Show Radio Network based in Milwaukee. We're going to talk to him, pick his brain about, well, the week that was, but also what's to come as teams report for training camp next week. What? How is that happening? How is it nearly the end of July? I tell you what, I need a beach day this weekend. That's what's happening for me on Saturday. I haven't been to the beach since May when I was on vacation. And after the last several weeks of house stress and work craziness and family visits and everything else, I need to go lose myself on a chair in the sand at the beach. So that's my plan for Saturday morning. Cannot wait. I hope you've got some fun plans ahead for the weekend. Some summertime, baby. But don't check out yet because we've got 4 hours to go before our weekend. Then you're free to do whatever it is that you like to do. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A Law Radio. We've really enjoyed the Olympic interviews we've had so far. on our last edition of the show. We were also live in Tokyo to touch base with Jessica Mendoza, who is very thoughtful, but also really emotional about the return of her sport to the Olympics after what's been a 13-year absence. So if you missed that, Jessica Mendoza, two-time medalist in softball, joined us from somewhere in the Japanese countryside. It's kind of a fun story that she told. And we talked softball, but also talked about what it's been like for her initially getting to Japan. And then Vashti Cunningham, thank you so much for all of your tweets and your Facebook reaction to our conversation with the gold medal favorite in high jump in Tokyo, though she's still in Vegas training with her dad and coach Randall Cunningham and will depart for Tokyo coming up in the next week or so. But really cool to talk to her even as she goes into these games with the greatest of expectations. And I know once you hear her, if you didn't get that conversation on the show, once you hear her talk about her excitement and pride at representing the United States and the red, white, and blue and how it makes her feel important to wear that uniform, I know you'll want to cheer for her. So pretty cool. And those interviews are on our podcast. We've got the links up on social media, which is why I give you our Twitter accounts. And then our Facebook page, too. I posted them both in the last several hours individually, so you will be able to find them there. Yay! 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. There are a lot of different ways we can go. We've got audio from, and it's always goofy, audio from the championship parade for the Milwaukee Bucks. Pretty crazy, but that's what you get to do. You get to let your hair down, let your guard down. You even get to throw your championship trophy over a body of water if it suits you, or you get to dump champagne all over yourself. You get to strut and crow and practice your free throws on the side of a float as it goes down the streets in Milwaukee. Giannis is a hoot. He, PJ Tucker, Chris Middleton, all the others really enjoying the fruits of their labor, if you will. So we will hear from Giannis and PJ just the fun that was had by sports fans in Milwaukee. If you went to the Bucks championship parade, I'd love to hear from you. Also, a couple of dramatic moments in Major League Baseball on the diamond. And how about this? Ben Roethlisberger speaks for the first time. There's no way he gets rid of the Big Ben nickname, and he's still a big guy. But for those of you who are Steelers fans or AFC North fans, so you're interested observers, those of you who think Ben should have retired, he's over the hill, he's spent, his career is done, well, he's got a different message, and he also has jokes. So both Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin, even a little bit with TJ Watt, who led the NFL in sacks in 2020 with a cool 15 of them. You'll hear from all of them as the Steelers, along with the Cowboys, open up their training camp. But the biggest story in sports on Thursday had to be the NFL's release of its memo that serves as more of a warning to teams that have any type of virus outbreak in the 2021 season. What do we remember about last year? We remember that there were games on every single day of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday last year. Now, some of those were pre-planned. Some of those were on the schedule. But others, including doubleheaders on Monday Night Football, including a game being moved at the last second onto the Sunday schedule because another game had to be moved, including no Thanksgiving night game. If you remember, it was a little chaotic. But the NFL was committed to getting in as many games as possible, to the point where it even ticked off some teams and fan bases because they felt like their team wasn't dealt with equitably. But the rule last year was play every single game, figure out a way to get it done. The only reason for not playing a game when it was scheduled was because, well, is if they didn't know if it was an active outbreak. If the outbreak had not been contained sufficiently, well, then they weren't comfortable playing until they had gone through a couple of days with no positive tests. But you remember, there were a bunch of teams that were affected that definitely were at a competitive disadvantage with the way that games were moved on the schedule, whether it be the team that had the outbreak or the team that was supposed to face the team that had the outbreak. But in the end, the league marched through every single one of the 256 games that were scheduled, something like that. Don't quote me on that number. And played the Super Bowl on time, crowning a champion in Tampa. It was a success. Huge success. Doesn't matter who you ask. The fact that the NFL got all the way through and played every single game and crowned a champion, that was more than what they could have asked for. In fact, more than what most sports did. But it's different moving forward in 21. There's a new memo that sent ripples through the league on Thursday. Commissioner Roger Goodell writing this memo himself. Games will not be postponed in 21. They will not be postponed. In fact, they'll be canceled if they can't come up with some type of a solution that fits all the parties involved. So the games will only be postponed if it's required by government authorities or medical experts, or because Roger Goodell believes that an outbreak is ongoing. Okay, so it's again, it's that same reason. Games could only be postponed if they're worried about an outbreak on a particular team. However, if the league can't come up with a date in the time frame of the 18-week schedule, the regular season, and get this, if the postponement was caused by an outbreak among unvaccinated players, forfeits are on the table. All right, so let me say it again. There's a few stipulations here. They're going to attempt to not postpone any games. The only reason for postponement will be if there's an active outbreak or something's happening in the local community with the local government. But if the league can't find a date initially to reschedule where it doesn't create a total mess or screw up with teams' bye weeks and all that jazz, and the postponement or the game not being able to go forward as scheduled, if it was caused by unvaccinated players on a particular team, a forfeit is the solution. That's what the NFL has indicated. And get this, a forfeit means neither team gets paid. So if the postponement was caused by, and I'm spitballing here, a group of unvaccinated players on one roster, not only does their entire team not get paid if the game is forfeited, but the other team that has nothing to do with the outbreak would also forfeit game checks. So here's what the memo says. Whether to reschedule a postponed game will be dependent on health and safety reasons at the recommendation of medical experts, as well as considerations of stadium availability, schedule integrity. So that's about not screwing up every other team that is on the schedule, fan convenience, and other appropriate matters. In other words, the NFL is not going out of its way to reschedule games. So it's up to the players to take this situation seriously. And let's be honest, when you tell athletes that they're going to potentially forfeit game checks, that's when it gets serious. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Mike Garofalo on the NFL Network, speaking to that particular piece of the NFL memo that a lot of players were reacting to on Thursday, not Friday yet, Thursday.
It's not just the team that caused the outbreak. Both teams would not be paid their Paragraph 5 salary, their base salary, that installment for that game. So even if it's the team, I mean, you remember teams were upset last year. Hey, it's their problem, and we're rescheduling this game, and we're moving this game around, and it's inconveniencing us. Yeah, well, on top of that, you're not going to get paid
right.
if it's the other team that creates the mess. And by the way, still in this memo, if the other team is not following protocols, remember we had some of that last year, that Commissioner Roger Goodell still retains the right, in addition to canceling the game, the forfeit, there could still be penalties in the form of fines, draft picks, whatever, on top of that. So these games could be moved now. That's in the memo as well. Like, you could have a Thursday game moved to a Tuesday or whatever. Remember, we had that last year as well, as they tried to keep it within the week that these games were going to be played. But once you get outside of that, the long and short of this is that the NFL in this memo is stating that they are intending to play the entire regular season over 18 weeks, and there will not be a 19th week. So if you get outside of that week, and hey, we couldn't make it work and we couldn't reschedule it, that game is forfeited.
All right, so as you can imagine, this upped the ante for players all over the league. According to the reports, there are four teams that are below a 50% threshold in terms of players getting vaccinated. But Roger Goodell has indicated more than 75% of NFL players currently on a roster are at least partially vaccinated, and more than half of the league's 32 teams are above 80%. All right, so above 80%, which is beyond the herd immunity number. And you can do your research if you like. I'm not going to go through all the teams that have met the threshold or the ones that haven't. But I will say the Cardinals are among those that are below 50%. And it was interesting to see the response from DeAndre Hopkins. Now, he deleted his tweet relatively quickly on Thursday afternoon. But he actually said he would question his future in the NFL if it meant that by not getting the vaccine, he would be considered selfish or not a team player, or that others would look at him as hurting his team's chances to win in 21. His tweet read this: "Never thought I would say it, but being in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL." When he deleted that tweet, he put up another one that said simply "freedom" with a question mark. Then a few minutes later, I don't know how long it was, he tweeted he has 9 more years left. So an emotional reaction, as you could imagine initially, knowing that game checks might be on the line. This is clearly the NFL's attempt to coax and convince and persuade its athletes to get vaccinated. And they're happy with the way things have gone over the last month. I've also heard that report. They're pleased with the number of athletes who've stepped up and are getting vaccinated. They're not requiring it, but they're making the incentives so steep for vaccinated players that those who are not vaccinated are almost going to feel like they are ostracized in their facilities, their locker rooms, their practices. And as you can imagine, not being able to do the same things that the other guys do, there's also the potential that they could be cut a lot easier as well, or lose a starting spot, or lose playing time because they can't go through the same practices and exercises and activities that all the other guys can. Or they have to do them with masks, being socially distanced. So the NFL is not requiring it, but they're making the incentives for vaccinated players so stark and such a huge advantage that it actually means teams that don't have the majority vaccinated, I don't know that you're going to be able to compete the same way. So we'll talk more about that. I would love to hear your thoughts. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. But straight ahead to Tokyo we go. Opening ceremonies on tap for the 2020/21 Olympics. Steve Futterman of CBS News will join us.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We are very well aware of the skepticism, obviously, a number of people have here in Japan. And, you know, my appeal to the Japanese people to welcome these athletes here for their competition of their life.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
IOC President Thomas Bach appealing to Japan, to Tokyo, to the residents to welcome the games and the athletes because it is a moment that they've prepared for their whole lives. Though it seems like there's more tension coming out of the site where these summer games are now underway. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're not there, so we want to make sure we get the actual lay of the land from Steve Futterman of CBS News, who is there covering the games. And Steve, I'm so anxious to pick your brain. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes with us today.
Oh, yeah. Great to be with you, Amy. Anytime.
What does it feel like to you, someone who covers a ton of huge sporting events? How does this atmosphere compare?
Well, there's not much of a buzz. I mean, I did a story last night for CBS, basically on the street. I said, normally, the night before the opening ceremony in the host city, it's just, you know, it's just excitement reverberating everywhere. You see people on the streets, you see athletes, you see fans, you run into relatives of the athletes. It's just a giant carnival. Last night, people weren't on the streets, and the few that were there were wearing masks. It was a very boring night, at least the area I'm living in Tokyo right now.
As a member of the media, are you allowed to go anywhere you want? Because I know there are restrictions for the athletes.
Yeah. Yeah, there are lots of restrictions. And by the way, I find them all at this point, I might change my mind, but all fairly reasonable right now. They initially said that their original idea was all the media covering here would have to undergo a 14-day quarantine.
Whoa.
Obviously, I mean, I can understand why they would want that. It didn't seem realistic. So they altered the rules. Basically, before you came, if you were obviously outside of Japan, you had to have two COVID tests. One of them within 72 hours of your departure, and they all both had to be negative, of course. And then when you got here, we went through another test, a saliva test at the airport. They want to know where you're going. You have to agree to be part of a modified bubble for 14 days. You basically have to tell them you're not going to go places you're not supposed to go. Basically, the main press center, the venues, those are pretty much where we're restricted to go. You are able to leave your hotel for around 15 minutes to go to the local convenience stores, which they have two or three on every block, it seems, either a 7-Eleven, a Lawson, or a Family Mart. They are very popular here. So I think they've been reasonable as much as they can. That's my feeling right now.
I just saw a photo that you posted from the stadium with the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
It looks empty, of course, but will you be allowed to be there for what is usually this marquee event?
Yeah, I'm here already. I'm here right now speaking to you from the stadium. So I'm here already. I was on the first bus, just wanted to get situated. So I'll be able to be here. They're allowing, I think, around 1,500 journalists to be here. And this is the journalists who are not rights holders. Obviously, NBC and Canada, CBC, they're allowed to bring their people here. But people who are not rights holders, around 1,500 are being allowed to be here. There will be members of the diplomatic corps, Jill Biden leading the U.S. delegation, the First Lady. She met, by the way, virtually with members of the U.S. team today, had a nice back and forth with Sue Bird, who is one of the flag bearers tonight. So, you know, it's going to be different. We know that. Will it look different on TV? I'm not sure. But they seem to think that it's going to work, and we'll find out right now. By the way, I'm looking at the Japanese flag being hoisted on one of the flagpoles right now. They rehearse everything, as you know.
Mm. So then there will be some people in the stands, which is good, just not that same crazy roar whenever the athletes walk out of the tunnel and into the stadium.
Right. I mean, listen, I think this place holds, I'm guessing, I knew it at one time, maybe 80,000. So maybe there'll be 5,000. It's going to be basically empty. I mean, the percentage of, I wasn't really good in math, but it's a very small percentage of the seats that are going to be filled. And by the way, we will not have the usual large contingent of athletes. Only a fraction of the athletes who are entered to compete here will be in the Parade of Nations, the Parade of Athletes. I can only give you, I don't know if the U.S. has released its figures, but the Canadian Organizing Committee, I spoke with them earlier. I think the Canadians have around a delegation of athletes of over 300. Only 30 to 40 will be in the Parade of Athletes.
Steve Futterman of CBS News is in Tokyo getting set for the opening ceremony. So right now, joining us from the stadium where it won't be full, but it will still be those ceremonies that we always look forward to start the summer and the winter games. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Have you sensed in talking to athletes or talking to members of delegations that there's an extra tension and anxiety? Because I feel like when I've talked to coaches and some athletes that there is that level that they don't typically deal with.
You know, yes, I'm going to give you a 9/11 analogy. I remember speaking to a gentleman in New York maybe a week after 9/11. I asked him when he crossed the bridge to go into the city, did he think about it? He said, always, every day he crosses the bridge, he's wondering whether something's going to happen. I think the athletes in the back of their minds, yeah, they're wondering. I think they have some sense of security, but nothing's guaranteed, and we've seen some athletes who have been telling us they've been vaccinated test positive. So, and we know there are, whether you agree with the vaccine or not, I happen to think it's a good idea to get the vaccine. That's my opinion. But whether you agree it's a good thing to get or not, we do know that some people who get the vaccine will come down with COVID, just like if you get the flu shot, some people get the flu. So no one's immune completely from getting COVID, even if you're taking all the precautions that you might normally take.
I've heard, just to transition, because, of course, we could talk about that part of it forever, but I've heard that the heat is also something that's different for some of these athletes, not just the heat, but the humidity, the thickness of air. What does it feel like to you?
Well, I've been here before. It can be worse. So I'm counting my blessings. It's not pleasant. It's very humid. I didn't check the temperature today, but it's been in the humidity is the issue. It's not the heat.
Right.
So I'm guessing it's around 80% sometimes. It can be miserable. But like I said, I've been here before. It can be much worse. I should point out at the track, this is also the track stadium, as most Olympic opening ceremony stadiums become track stadiums as well, and that's the case here in Tokyo. So this will serve as the track stadium. I will say this, that if you're not necessarily the athletes, but if you're the member of the media, we have it's like an overhang like that many stadiums have. So we're protected from being hit directly from the sun. And right now, looking at the field, half of the field is covered by a shadow.
Interesting. How many Olympic Games have you covered, Steve?
This is number 15. The first one I went to was in my hometown of L.A., so I've been to every Summer Olympics since 84 in Los Angeles, and then my Winter Olympic experience began in Salt Lake City in 2002, so I've been to those since then. And for a while, I thought that this was not going to happen. Obviously, many organizations were rethinking.
Right.
Do you send people? How many people do you send? Is it wise? So at the end, we decided that it was worth it, and I'm glad CBS sent me.
Absolutely. That's on my bucket list, Steve. So a little bit envious of your experience. What are a couple of the Olympics that will stand out for you, the great experiences that you really enjoyed?
Well, I mean, the first Olympics is always, I think, probably the most special. It was also in my hometown. I had loved the Olympics since a child, so that was my favorite one in many ways. The moment I still love from that one is when Rafer Johnson, looking like a Greek god, lit the torch at the Coliseum in the peristyle end. I love that moment at the L.A. Olympics. Carrie Strug, I saw her. I was at the gymnastics event when she landed from the vault on that one leg. She had injured her ankle and stood tall. I guess she's 5'2". You can stand tall if you're 5'2". She didn't fall. That was the main thing. And the U.S. women won that gold medal. That's great. I've seen every Michael Phelps gold medal. and maybe the greatest event I ever saw in the Olympics was when Phelps was going for the 8 gold medals. And, you know, listen, when you set yourself up, if you win 7 out of 8, you're a failure. I mean, you didn't succeed in doing what you wanted to do. I'm being sarcastic when I say you're a failure if you only win 7 of 8 events. But he wanted to win the 8. That race, the 100-meter breaststroke, I was working for Westwood One. I actually called that race. And, my goodness, you know, I don't do that much play-by-play. It is pretty tense. You have to be careful you don't make a mistake. And he won by 1/100 of a second. He nailed it, and I won't say I nailed it, but I didn't make a mistake. I had him winning, and he won. That, to me, is one of the most amazing events because he kept his dream alive. And then, of course, he did win the 8 gold medals, one of the greatest moments, really, in Olympic history.
So you saw all 23 of his gold medal races?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That is quite a claim to fame there, Steve. I'm impressed.
And we thought we were done with Phelps in London. He had to come back in Rio, but I saw the ones in Rio as well.
Wow. Okay, so then what are some of the events that you plan to cover while you're in Tokyo, other than the opening ceremonies?
Well, I want to go to the 100-meter. I love the 100-meter race. I saw all of Bolt's gold medals, too.
Wow.
All, I guess now it's not 9, it's 8, because they were disqualified in one of the races. One of the relay team members tested positive, so it's 8. So I saw him win. Just an amazing athlete. So I love the 100 meters. That's if you have to say one event you go to, that's the one I want to go to. By the way, they're not always good races. They're over very quickly. Don't blink your eyes. But it's such a classic event. You know, I mean, the whoever wins that race is considered the world's fastest human.
Yes.
And whoever wins the decathlon is considered the world's greatest athlete, because when Jim Thorpe won the gold medal in, I think, 1912, the king said, "Sir, you are the world's greatest athlete." And that tag has stuck with every decathlon winner since.
Oh, Steve Futterman, we would love to have you on again over the course of these games. For now, I hope that you enjoy these opening ceremonies. You can find Steve on Twitter at S Futterman. And I've been listening to him since long before I was in the business. For CBS News, as a news junkie, he's one of the voices that I will always recognize when I hear you on the radio. Steve, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. It's an honor to have you on the show.
Amy, you know I love being on your show anytime.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's really neat, right? First of all, he talked about Carrie Strug and her Olympic vault, which was at the 96 games in Atlanta. And I will remember, of course, watching that one. I mean, for those people who saw it live, it's one of those you always remember where you were moments. But the man saw every single one of Michael Phelps' gold medal winning races. There are 23 of them. 23 of them. Steve Futterman is living his best life. He's living my best life, actually. And now you're going to check out his Twitter. He's already in place at the opening ceremony, so he said he got there early. And from his photo, the stadium is relatively empty. They're going through the various rehearsals, and they're going through some of the paces to be ready. But I am anxious to see what it looks like in real time as opposed to a snapshot or a photo. But I'm excited for Steve because he's a guy who will give you the meat of the story, give you the meat of what he's seeing, and a great reporter. I'm not kidding. I've been listening to him since long before I was on the radio myself. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I am forever apologizing to our friend Bob Uessler for being late, but he's so patient and also the best at what he does. Thank you, Bob.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
So international.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In the last few months, we've gotten tweets from Australia, from Hong Kong, some of the military who are listening, which just blows my mind.
Hola, señorita Lawrence.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Bien, ¿usted?
Muy bien. Kalani is listening in Hawaii.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, aloha.
Aloha to you. I appreciate the phone call from Hawaii. Aloha. Merrick is in Norway?
Yes, ma'am.
That is awesome. How are you?
I'm feeling well. I've heard about the radio, so I just went to the channel.
That's so neat. I'm not kidding. You're my first European caller ever.
Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
All right, deep breath. There's quite a lot that we are going to cover on this edition of the show. And if you're wondering about the opening ceremonies, they actually are going to be aired live on Big NBC beginning in roughly 4 hours. So a little later than what our show runs. But they can be part of your weekend. If I remember correctly, the official start time on NBC is about 6:55 a.m. Eastern time, 3:55 a.m. Pacific time. So you do have the option of watching a lot of the events live. And as some of you have said to me, I don't want to watch events if they're tape delayed and I already know, la, 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 la. I mean, that's pretty standard for the Olympics, right? Unless they happen to be in North America, you're generally finding out if you choose to who the winners are before you see the events. But it doesn't mean you can't enjoy the drama of it all. I know that we have NBC Sports Network up in here. USA Network is also carrying a lot of events live. And then NBC, Big NBC, it will have some of the major events that will take place live, regardless of time, like the opening ceremonies. But it'll be primetime coverage every evening for the next couple of weeks to give you the best of the best. And that's actually a pretty packaged way to watch the Olympics, an efficient way to watch the Olympics if you don't want to sit through some of the events that maybe you don't care about or you aren't interested in watching events that don't feature Team USA. So there are multiple networks, USA, NBC Sports Network. There is an Olympic channel, which I happen to have on my cable package. I was watching some events earlier in the week, and then, of course, Big NBC. And that's the way that you can follow whatever you want, whenever you want, or you can watch the primetime package. It's cool that they're taking place, and I know I've said it multiple times. I really am excited about these games. I was so disappointed last year when they were canceled because I adore the Olympics. Summer is my favorite. I really like winter as well, especially now with funky curling. It's so much fun. But the summer games have always been my favorite because of track and field, but also because of the swimming. And so every night next week, that's what I'll be doing. Now, we get to watch the events unfold live here in the studio, but I can't be focusing on them while I'm talking to you. So it's one of those kind of split attention situations. But certainly, I will tell you when I'm about to reveal the winner of a particular event. I'll do, and I promise my commitment to you, a spoiler alert so that you can either turn down the radio or plug your ears like this. I'm plugging my ears right now. Well, I have headphones in my ears, but I'm plugging my ears and I'm saying, la, 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 la. That's how you can avoid hearing what it is that I'm going to say. So the Olympics are underway, and your host is pretty geeked out about it. And I appreciate Steve Futterman, who joined us from Tokyo. He's already in the stadium. And also Jessica Mendoza, who joined us on the last edition of the show. Producer Dave and I, we're feeling pretty cool about the fact that we can get people live from Tokyo, where most shows, while they could, it's not going to be quite as easy as it is for us. So, boom, prime time it is, baby. 855-212-4CBS, and then on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Would you like to hear from 39-year-old Ben Roethlisberger, who committed himself to diet and exercise in the offseason, and who is now going into his 18th training camp? Of course you would. Now, I personally prefer to hear from Mike Tomlin, but we all want to know what it is that Ben Roethlisberger has to say about starting out camp. He says he's rested and his arm is in great shape.
My arm feels a lot fresher, if you will, just because
At this time last year, I had thrown thousands of footballs trying to get ready for this. And this year, today was the first day I've thrown a ball since minicamp, other than throwing to my son in the backyard. So it feels more normal of an off season, if you will. So my arm feels really, really good.
I'm so glad to hear that. We've already seen Philip Rivers retire. We, of course, know that Drew Brees, well, he's told us recently that his arm feels worse than it ever has in his career, and that he can't imagine coming back now because he's not in good shape. He's not in playing shape. Eli Manning gone. Peyton Manning gone. You know, it's more and more about the youth movement at the quarterback position. Sure, we still have Tom Brady, and we still have Aaron Rodgers. And yes, Ben Roethlisberger at 39, though this may very well be his last season. We've got other quarterbacks who are later in their careers, like a Matt Ryan. Who knows about Ryan Fitzpatrick? He may quietly play longer than Tom Brady if people keep giving him jobs. So in the elder statesman category, I'm rooting for these guys. So over the course of my network, the network portion of my career, these are the quarterbacks I've been talking about forever. And I should mention the last Super Bowl party I went to was the Cardinals and the Steelers. So I remember that one vividly. I remember where I was. It was the last Super Bowl party I ever went to. I've gone to the Super Bowl. I've certainly enjoyed covering the games. And I will be honest, I would prefer being here covering the game, talking about it after the fact, than going to a party. As much fun as Super Bowl parties are, it's one of the best nights of the year to work if you're in sports radio. So I'm pleased that I get the opportunity to talk about a Super Bowl after it happens. However, I will always remember Cardinals-Steelers as the last Super Bowl party I went to until maybe I retire, and then we'll see. We'll see if I ever get invited to a party again. I'm a bit of a party pooper now. No one wants me to come to parties because I bring my notes with me. So Ben Roethlisberger at 39 years old says, I'm fresher. I didn't throw like a crazy person this offseason because I wasn't trying to get my arm back into shape. Now, a lot of the talk around the Steelers camp has been their new offensive coordinator, Matt Canada. And Roethlisberger and others are adjusting to life with a new system.
If you notice, I'm looking at the wristband quite a bit, and we all are. All the quarterbacks are trying to pick up on it and figure it out. And it's not new, isn't always bad. It's just new.
It's not all new verbiage, all new concepts. It's not. It's really not. Matt's done a really good job, a thoughtful job of easing the transition. Sure, there's some new things, and sure, there's some new words, but it's not. It's not a blank slate, and Ben's been on the job long enough where I don't want to make that to seem something significant when, it's an adjustment. But by the time we're able to play, I doubt it's going to be anything of any significance.
I couldn't resist. I had to. From Ben Roethlisberger saying it's not bad, it's just new, to Tomlin saying it's not new. Now, he did clarify and said that, of course, it's new, but by the time we get into the actual season, it's not that big of a deal.
It's not all new verbiage.
It's not like we're reinventing the wheel. Funny, I didn't hear anyone from Steelers camp say, I will do absolutely anything known to man to be able to get to the Super Bowl. That's a fact. We didn't hear that. I was disappointed, actually, that we did not hear Mike Tomlin tell us that he would do anything known to man to get to the Super Bowl. That's something only Jerry Jones can conjure up. Now, we do have others. We've got the addition of Melvin Ingram. We've got the talk about the loss of Marquise Pouncey. But we've got 1 hour in the books, too. That went fast. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
We make no excuses.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.